if you and me launched an NFT project, it would be highly successful.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Happy Tuesday. I hope you're all having a wonderful week. Today, James, it's a bit of a money in football or talking about financial stuff for the patrons.
Does it ever occur to you that people listen to these things like the next day or something? Now, maybe we shouldn't say like Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, well, if they listen a day late, it's their fault. I respect the ones that listen straight away within 20 minutes of the content being published more than the ones that listen to it on catch up. Now, right. You know.
This is Money in Football. It's your show. So off you go.
Well, so crypto and NFTs has been talked about in football for a little while. But they're kind of quite different elements of the whole conversation around. Like, so it's not all one thing, right? It's not just crypto in football or NFTs in football. They're quite different things. So one of the topics of conversation right now that we won't massively talk about on this pod, but is a strand of this whole conversation, is sponsorship of football clubs by crypto companies. Right, so you've got crypto.com, and I mean, there's a massive list.
19 of the current Premier League clubs have some sort of agreement. The only one that doesn't is Brighton.
And some of them have associations with like trading platforms where you can trade currencies and stocks and shares that allow you to trade crypto. So they're not specifically crypto companies, but they're platforms where you're allowed to trade cryptocurrencies. And the debate on that is really should companies allow themselves to be sponsored by these crypto trading platforms? That debate falls much into the same category of conversation as should we allow football clubs to be sponsored by betting companies? In the old days, it might have been tobacco. Alcohol is still obviously around, but not as much. But betting companies, because it's an unregulated financial market where people can lose money just as easily as they can lose money easier than they can make money. And whether or not football clubs should be encouraging fans to get involved with something that is unregulated is an issue, right? So that's kind of like the straight up, we're being sponsored by so-and-so. And that's one element of football's involvement with crypto.
Can I dive in with a serious alarm bell? Unregulated.
Yeah. It's unregulated. What can you? But the whole point of it, the crypto works because it's unregulated. Like the attraction of cryptocurrencies is that you're not tied to any central bank and what have you, and it's free for the people by the people type mindset. So it kind of go hand in hand.
It's a little bit like buying drugs from the guy who lives on the road down the road and meeting him in the back alley at 1 o'clock. It's unregulated. But you don't know if that gear is going to be good.
But there's a difference because the gear
is that fair? You don't know if the gear is going to be good. The gear could be dodgy.
But the drugs are illegal, whereas cryptocurrencies are not illegal. But the unknown element of it is that the thing is, if you know what you're doing, plenty of people have made plenty of money out of cryptocurrency.
Yeah, sure.
But it's you don't know what you don't know, and the scope for manipulation of the market in crypto is huge. Like Elon Musk tweets a picture of a dog, Dogecoin, and suddenly the price of Dogecoin goes up off the back of one tweet. Like, what's that? That's not real market interest in that currency.
Right, he knows he's going to sell that in about 3 hours, right?
Hype. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. Couldn't possibly comment, but it's hype. It's not based on anything.
Elon Musk going, do you know what? Fancy making a bit of money today.
He must have made shitloads off Twitter without even buying the bloody thing.
Yeah, true.
Possibly. So the involvement with these kind of cryptocurrencies is a concern. The other area that's a concern is these fan tokens, which are run by this company Socios, and allow fans to buy a token.
To clarify, not just Socios, right?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, there's loads of different companies.
Yeah, but I think NFTs, the majority of this fan token drive was the platform. Socios was the big driver of it, and they had all the major clubs.
And this is the lot who's just give Barcelona a bit of a war chest, right?
Yeah, they've got money. So, they have released fan tokens, which are, in essence, NFTs, and then you buy them at a certain price. The price of them fluctuates depending on the value of the cryptocurrency that they're backed by, and they can go up or down, but they give you involvement in the football club.
Air quotes.
And that's the difficulty here with these NFTs and these cryptocurrencies. Now, they have their own cryptocurrency, so it's like coming to me and buying paper bags, but you got to buy the paper bags with a currency that I've invented. So you have to give me pounds, and you can exchange them for bag coins, let's call them. And then you have to use the bag coins to buy the bags themselves. The difference here is obviously you're going to use the bags, but if you're going to hold them and keep them. So if I said to you, give me 20 quid and I'm going to give you 10 bag coins. And with those bag coins, you can buy a piece of art that you're going to stick on your wall, James. But the value of the bag coin halves. Well, then the value of your art has halved, right? Currencies generally don't devalue at the rate that these cryptos are going up and down. So these chili, they're called chilies, is a problem that people will buy fan tokens and they'll be worth half what they thought they were within weeks and months.
Okay, here's something I do understand, which is kind of non-football related at the moment. The crypto market has absolutely taken a battering this year, is that fair? Just generally.
Yeah.
Why has that happened? Is that down to Russia, Ukraine? Is it down to COVID? No. Well, no. What's this down to?
Yeah. People might be taking their money out of crypto because they're thinking that it's not a safe place to save it. Most of the money that's put into crypto is speculative because actual currencies don't have any real utility right now in the main wide world. Bitcoin's not something that you can just go and pay for your shopping with, or it's not something you can go and buy a house with, or it's not something that you can actually use. People can trade Bitcoin to Bitcoin, and yeah, there are scenarios where you can use Bitcoin. Certain countries will allow you to buy property with Bitcoin where they're kind of tax regulations are perhaps a little bit loose, but you can also do the same thing with cash, right? You could take 100 grand in cash right now and go and buy a flat in Dubai if you wanted to. They're not going to ask you where your 100 grand in your leather holdall came from. So when people invest in these cryptocurrencies, it's speculative on a use case in the future coming to light, and people saying, right, okay, we've got real good use for this now, and it's going to be worth more because it's got real utility. If they don't think that if there's no confidence in that, then they're going to take their money out. And there's a lot of speculators in the market who will drive the price up and down based on news and sentiment. Inexperienced traders will react to the market, and then if someone's selling it and the price is going down, you shit yourself, you're going to sell it and the price goes down and goes down even more.
Buy the rumor, sell the news.
That's why it's a very volatile environment. Yeah.
Okay, so how does it relate to football, and why should anyone listening be bothered?
There's an underlying technology. You heard of blockchain?
Yeah, I don't understand what the fuck it is.
Okay, so cryptocurrencies are built on the blockchain, right? The blockchain is a public ledger that's stored on multiple computers. That's code that identifies who has what. At the moment, your bank has a line that says James Linden, and he's got £5.50 in his bank account, for argument's sake, right?
I wish.
And the bank owned that ledger, right? It's centralized, as in the bank own it. Crypto This ledger exists in multiple places. It's encrypted. And so no one person has control over that ledger. So it's not the bank that owns your bank account. It's just the what your bank account exists in.
Are we calling it the metaverse? Is that what you're calling it?
No, it's just it's a network. It's okay. A network. Presumably, there's going to be people listening to this.
Someone formed a website, right? Presumably.
What?
To start this whole gig.
It's not a website.
So
I couldn't tell you.
No. Serious question. Did it just come out of thin air then?
No, this guy, someone invented the blockchain as an encrypted ledger that's shared on multiple devices.
Well, could he not just put it down and take everyone's money tomorrow, considering this is unregulated?
Because it's stored on multiple computers now. It's out there in the world. It's not any one person owns it. It's like, I don't know, a language.
You
can't take it back.
You couldn't hypothetically have 10,000 in Bitcoin and cryptocurrency in this ledger. There's no chance you could get robbed.
No.
None whatsoever.
The only way you'd get robbed is if someone held you physically to gunpoint and said, transfer me your Bitcoin. And you'd have to go in and put your password in.
If something's got an encryption, it can be encrypted.
No. Depends. Well, then you could say the same thing about passwords to get into FPL or whatever. The point of encryption is that you can't.
But people did get into people's FPL teams.
Because the encryption wasn't very good.
Okay, no, I get that. I very much understand the encryption very different.
Bitcoin is a public ledger. But the thing is, think about the blockchain as just a place where information is stored and a record is kept that is public and not owned by anyone. But it's just out there and is fact. So there's one called Ethereum, the Ethereum blockchain. Ethereum's a cryptocurrency. But there's lots of different types of blockchain where ultimately who owns what is listed in a ledger that's owned on multiple devices and computers and databases, and there's no one person that owns it. If you buy a physical asset like a car or a painting or a house or what have you, you physically own it. You have something to show you that you own this, right? Or you have deeds or paperwork or a logbook or something that says you own it. If you own a digital asset, by digital assets, I mean a JPEG or a piece of audio or a piece of video or something along those lines, how do you identify who owns the original piece of that?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
How would
you know?
You know, there was that. How would I know?
That you know that Charlie bit my finger video.
Oh, I can do an impression of that. Ouch, yeah. Charlie!
Okay,
bit so my there, finger.
There's the original piece of content that was created.
Yeah, which came off presumably someone's mobile phone or something.
Well, how do you know who owns the original?
I don't. I also don't care.
Yeah, but some people do. Because they see these digital assets in the same way that they see physical assets, like a car or whatever. Right? So people are creating digital assets. And what they're doing is they're turning them into what these are called NFTs, non-fungible tokens. It means that you know through inserting code into a file what the original is. Right?
Okay.
Doesn't mean people can't replicate it, copy-paste it.
Well, this is what I was going to say, because Charlie bit my finger, like, I can screen record that off YouTube and I own it.
No, you own a copy of it.
No. I own it. It's then on my phone.
You don't own the rights to the actual original. You own a copy of it.
But I have it.
You own a copy of it.
It's mine.
You can get a print. But that's like saying if you go and buy a print of the Mona Lisa and put it in a frame and put it in your bedroom, I own the Mona Lisa.
No, it's different.
Why?
Because it's not the original.
Yeah, but what's your file that's on your phone worth?
But the difference between the two you're given, right? Mona Lisa, right? It's a painting originally done by who painted it?
Yeah, but digital assets can be created by artists as well.
But I could forward that to anybody on a WhatsApp group, and who knows whether it's the original or not? No one's gonna know.
Yeah. So
what does it matter?
So in the original file nowadays, you can insert code, or you can have code that will tell you what the original is. And a way of identifying who owns it is the blockchain, is this public ledger that exists in the world. So who owns this digital asset. So the value of the blockchain, the digital asset for NFTs, is that you can have you can turn something into a digital asset that someone can own and will pay money for if they think it's going to be worth something in the future. Right?
Yeah, it's all fucking nonsense, mate.
So what's the value going to be in the future? There might not be, but you can start associating value to certain things. So let's say, for argument's sake, have you ever seen CryptoPunks?
No.
You've got a web browser. Okay, Google CryptoPunks right now.
I'll do it on my phone. CryptoPunks.
Yes.
Okay. Well, CryptoPunks, I'm Googling. Because
I love labs. You see these little images that are going to come up, like these little graphics.
Okay, CryptoPunks. Should I just go to images?
Yeah, you can do. You see these little images.
Images. Okay, yeah, they're like 2D kind of shit I'd expect on like a Game Boy.
How much do you think they sell for, or they've sold for?
You're going to probably tell me absolutely millions.
Yeah. Millions and millions and millions. Yeah, 10,000 of them that exist, but there's only 10,000 of them that exist, and you can own them and they stay as an asset. I don't know what the utility value of these is.
Right.
I don't know what the utility value of these is, but let's take a Planet FPL. So we have an artist. We decide, you and me, that we are going to release 250 NFTs, right?
Okay.
Which are designed we're going to call...
Ruin our brand in one hit.
No, we're going to call them Planet Punks. Planet Punks, right?
Okay.
Let's call 200. 100 of my face and 100 of yours in different expressions or with funny hats based on those punks, right?
Okay.
And when we release them, we say, whoever buys them, we're going to sell them for 100 quid each, James. How many did I say? 200. We're going to sell them for 100 quid each. How much money are we going to make? 20 grand? Is that right? 100 times 200? Yeah. 20 grand. Yeah. 20 grand. So whoever's buying them is only going to pay £100 for them. Now, we have a ledger and we know who the only 200 people to own an NFT of ours are. And they've paid us 100 quid for them, and we get 100% of the money. We might lose 5% transaction fees and whatever else. But we decide that anybody that has an NFT, a Planet FPL NFT, gets perks, right? So our NFT holders are like our private members. So we'll have two NFT holder only conferences a year where they can come for free and they'll never get charged. If you are an NFT holder, you get free access to Slack channel for life. If you're an NFT holder, you get all of the podcasts 2 hours before. If you're an NFT holder, you get yours and my private WhatsApp numbers or something like that. They don't want mine. Fucking, I never reply. But if you're an NFT holder, you get 50% off all of our merch forever, or you get 50 quid's worth of merch for free every year, right? So by owning a digital asset, you get some real world assets as well.
Interruption.
Yeah.
All of the things that you just promised, well, you didn't promise, but suggested as ideas, if hypothetically someone owned a Planet FPL NFT, actually, in relation to us, perks. I'm not disagreeing. They're also better than what any football club has come up with as perks for their football clubs.
Correct.
Supporters.
Correct. This is going to come full circle as to why most NFTs are shit. Now, say, for example, James, you get signed by Sky Sports and are...
Dun, 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 dun.
Now, on the news, and so your mates with a lot of the footballers and so on and so on. I luckily, over the next 5 years, build the largest packaging company in the universe. I'm suddenly worth £100 million. Do you think our Planet FPL little conferences for 200 people are going to be fucking balling because you're going to phone your mates in the Premier League and I'm going to lay on caviar and sushi for everybody? Wow. People will suddenly value that NFT for more than the 100 quid that they originally paid. So someone will be like, fuck, if there's only 200 of these NFTs, and I want one, I'm going to have to pay what the market price is. The market price now is how much, James? £500? £1,000? we, as original creators of the NFT, get 20% of all the future sales. So if it's bought for 100, sold for 500, it's worth 600, 500 quid, we get 20% of that. Or you write it into the contract of what the NFT is. So we get £100 because it's exchanged hands. And what do we have to do for that £100? Fuck all. And the other guy's going to make £400. So that's where NFTs will have some upside, because you're banking on them being worth more to people in the future than they are right now. Or you're just happy to hold it to support it for someone's project or what have you. I'll give you another NFT example. Someone wants to make a movie, right? They're young, up and coming. They want to fund a film, feature length film in Hollywood. They haven't got the funding. They could create 10,000 NFTs from this movie project. Say it's your favorite book and someone wants to turn it into a movie and they need to raise $10 million. They'll say, right, okay, I'm going to create these 10 NFTs that are exclusive to this movie or what have you. And it's going to cost you £500. And for buying the NFT, you'll get early access to the screening and you'll own a piece of this and your name will be on the credits at the end of the movie and so on. You might think, do you know what? I want to own that NFT. Because people buy them for themselves, not for ups and downs. Some people obviously trade, but some people buy it for themselves. Now that NFT is worth something. But say there's a cast meetup once every 5 years from this movie and you get invited because you're an NFT holder or something like that, then suddenly they have a bit of value. There has to be value associated to owning that digital asset. The problem is, you came back to, no clubs are offering any value for ownership of that digital asset. Being able to vote on what the opening music is when it's the team walks out,
mate,
is not a utility. But if you were a Spurs NFT owner, say they had 50, you had the 10,000 NFTs and it's 50 quid lifetime to own the NFT. But you know, if you buy the kit every season, you get 25% of kit launch prior to launch every year. You might think, you know what, I want that. Or exclusive meet and greets with players is what they're kind of advertising.
Or 10% off my season ticket. Whatever.
Yeah, like that's a kind of cash transaction, which is a little bit...
The shit they offer fans is just fucking ridiculous. There's nothing there.
The majority of people haven't bridged the gap between what is useful... What's the utility of these NFTs? Like, you can create NFTs is easy. Selling NFTs is easy. Them not botting them out and losing value because actually you're not delivering any value is crazy. If you and me launched an NFT project, it would be highly successful. Highly successful.
So why are we not doing it?
Yet. Because we've never spent the time actually really to think about it. But the bottom line is, and we thought we do it with our Patreon, and we do it with the live events. We're focused on giving value, right? We're focused on giving value. So our thing is, right, okay, we're taking £3, £8, £14 a month from the patrons. We want to make sure that they get back as much value as we're taking from them. Simple, that's the mindset always, right? So if we launched an NFT project, we would take a view of, well, what are we going to do that's going to make sure that they've got sufficient value? And also, how can we keep building the brand to make sure that it doesn't tank out and go to zero? That the NFT is worth nothing.
Well, we already decided we need Sky to call me and you need to make your packaging company the biggest in the world.
That will make the NFTs worth shitloads, right? All of a sudden. But there is a use case for NFTs, which is where if you want to create an exclusive... So, for example, right now... The difference between, say, club membership where you pay £20 a year, the difference is if you wanted to limit it, what NFTs allow you to do is limit the number of people in total, and then it's a tradable asset. So club membership, for example, costs 20 quid or 30 quid or whatever it does at your club. They'll sell as many as they possibly can. So you're one of many. If you want to limit that, then you can. So socios and so on, they were limiting the number of fan tokens that they were releasing, right? If we launched, I guarantee you, if we launched and we got the offering right of what we were going to offer, I know some of you will know I got involved with Gary Vee launches.
Mr. Vaynerchuk.
For his book, Vaynerchuk. He launched a crypto a year at V Friends where he's got these little characters and what have you. I think he made $50 million on the first release of his crypto, of his NFTs. I think he sold 10,000. Someone Google it and you'll find the numbers. $50 million on the first release, and post-release, he's made $10 million on the percentage of them being traded. But he has an offering that you get. If you're a crypto holder, he has a conference every year, VCon, where he gets loads of speakers. You're talking like Snoop Dogg and LeBron and these big guys, free access for life. You get merch, you get access to this, pre-releases on his books, all sorts of stuff that for a fan has some utility and some value and some worth. And people don't just buy them for return on investment. They buy them for access. They buy them because they want to feel part of the community. They buy them because they want to be a part of something. The problem is that what are you to your football club? You've said it before and you're going to say it again.
Client reference number.
All they want to know is that all they know how to do is take, take, take. They don't know how to give, give, give. And this is where they're fucking shit. And this is why NFTs in football is something that I wouldn't ever think will work well unless you get a club that really understands and wants to put the fans first. But it's a business that's just mental, and I don't think it will. So coming back to kind of crypto, you need crypto is what you need to buy NFTs. Now, there are more stable cryptos than others, but if you're going to buy an NFT,
can you
hold
just
it,
buy an NFT for an NFT? And if an NFT costs 20 quid, you can't buy it in cash. That would be saying.
No, you got to get it on the blockchain. You got to get it. It's logged on the blockchain.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine. So we
need to deal in a different currency
as well, basically.
Yeah. But there are plenty of cryptos that are stable. And the truth is, if you're going to hold it over the long term, it will come back up and down, right? So if you buy it for this, it's a weird one now. Say you buy it for 50 quid, and 50 quid equals 50 Ethereum. Then that's worth 50 Ethereum. Great. Now, if Ethereum goes up to £100 for 50 and you sell it for 100 quid, you're actually going to sell it for 200 Ethereum. So you've quadrupled your growth in Ethereum, but you've only doubled your money in sterling, pounds, shilling, pence. But it's a bit of a frustrating one. So to be honest with you, like it's way more complicated than I'm describing to you. But there is utility in NFTs, James. There is great utility, but you need to be given value and you need to understand what's the value of the project. And the problem is these fan tokens, as soon as you look at it, the value exchange is so light.
Well, it doesn't...
People are then just buying them because they want to be a fan.
Yeah, I think what you've helped me and hopefully many of the listeners understand is there is a place for NFTs in world slash society.
100%.
I cannot see where there is for football fans. I'd like to give a couple of examples of some things that happened fairly recently. So Barcelona obviously sold this NFT recently of this picture of Johan Cruyff scoring this very famous kind of half bicycle kick goal on the back post for Barcelona. Now you can Google that exact image and download it into your phone in about 5 seconds exactly. If you Google Johan Cruyff Barcelona goal, it is the first image you will find. His exact image that they sold. So they sold it for a lot of money. But what I do understand about this one particular is exactly what you said. The person who's bought it has bought it for one of two reasons. One, they actually believed it could go up in value in time, which, as it's something historical, it could well do. It could go up in value over time. Or it's something that this person generally wants to be the holder of, this very iconic moment in football history. Now, I can also do that by going Google Images download personally, but each to their own. I can get that. Liverpool very recently had this kind of kids kind of animation Liverpool players NFT thing going on, like kind of branded around some kind of superheroes idea. And I want to say it was around about 150,000 NFTs. 8,000 have been bought. What do you read into that? This is Liverpool, huge football club.
What price were they?
I have no idea, to say the truth.
Yeah. They probably thought that that people would buy them out of fandom, James. They would just buy them because they support Liverpool and Liverpool got something.
I'll tell you what I can tell you, in terms of you probably can work it out if you've got a calculator. If they'd sold them all, they stood to make £8 million.
Yeah. I've got it here. Liverpool sold only 8,000 out of a possible 171,000.
Okay.
But they were priced at $75, James. £57, which is expensive. But what are you going to get out of it?
So what happens now? So they've only sold 4% of what they intended. So what happens now? Where do the rest of these 163,000 NFTs sit, having sold 8,000 of them? And does that mean that the value of the 8,000 is now better because there's only 8,000 of them in the fucking cloud stupidverse rather than 170,000?
No. It's worse. The value goes down. No one wants them.
So how can they have value?
Who owned them to start with was the club. So the club still owned them. So now the club are responsible for delivering value to 8,000 people where they thought they might have 170,000 people. So now instead of 8 million, they've got like 500,000.
But I don't think they have to deliver anything. These are just literally images of like Mo Salah as like a cartoon with a Premier League trophy or something.
Heroes. Yeah, they call them. But then I don't think they've thought through what the offering is. That's the problem. I don't think they've thought through.
This is the problem with football.
Why would someone want to be it?
John Terry and loads of footballers, particularly towards the start of this year, were publicising various NFT projects. The John Terry one is the most well-known because it tanked so hard and so fast. And I'm sure that John Terry wasn't trying to... There was nothing in it for John Terry. John Terry wasn't trying to fleece fans. John Terry's fleeced a lot of things, but I don't think he was... He was probably misadvised, is probably what's happened here, I would suggest. Where he's been told, look, this is going to kick off, give it a little push, people get behind it, wicked. Unfortunately, it's obviously gone the other way. And almost everything involved with football and NFTs just feels wrong at the moment. I mentioned on the Barca pod about the sponsorship with the guys who sponsored Inter Milan. Forgive me, I can't remember the name. They paid for the shirt sponsorship and they've not paid for it.
Yeah.
And Inter Milan are now trying to find them to get their money. Inter Milan, huge football club, has also won recently, which is the flip, which is really strange and it's worth looking into. Crawley did something recently around their season tickets or something, and everybody laughed about how expensive these things were. They sold really well, and Crawley have made a good little bit of money out of it. So I do get that there are the occasional success stories here, but generally they're far and few between. And I think anything football and NFT related, for me, it just smells like horseshit. You get Everton very recently. They've got Stake now as their shirt sponsors, who Watford have also got. They're a crypto company, aren't they? I think Stake, I want to say. I don't know if they did in Everton's case, but in the case of Watford, they actually paid Watford the sponsorship in cryptocurrency. I know that. So if you go and read what they are on Everton's website, honestly, you lose the will to live in four paragraphs. I've learned nothing. You've just put a load of jumbled up words on a paragraph and none of it makes any sense. And as soon as anything happens with NFT and football, I read it and I go, I don't understand. I generally don't understand. It's just messed up nonsense words that's kind of there to complicate people to think, oh, invest. And it just says to me, you're going to lose your money. That's all it says to me.
Question for you.
Go.
The theme music of the pod.
Go on. What's the question?
Turn it into an NFT. How much would someone pay for it? How much do you reckon someone would pay for it? Open market. We put it out there. How much would someone pay for it?
I'm going to guess here, strangely, more than I would think. I think possibly it's high hundreds, thousands.
Not hundreds of thousands.
No, high hundreds slash thousands.
Yeah, I think a minimum would be £500, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's somebody in the fan base that pay a grand or a grand and a half.
Which is ridiculous, because it's on my computer, and if anyone wants it, I'll just send it to you.
Don't do that. It doesn't make a difference, because you can always just put it back in the ledger. But yeah, it's an interesting one. I think I'd be interested. You can do a little cheeky little poll on Slack within the patrons, maybe underneath this post, James. And the question is, if we released a series of, this is very hypothetical.
No, because do you know what? If we do this and people don't listen to the pod, I promise you we're going to lose patrons, mate.
Yeah, fine. Okay, fair play. It's not because I want to launch an NFT. I'm just curious as to what people's appetite
The stigma now around the more engaged, it's not everyone, but the more engaged, certainly English football fan, is get this shit away from me. Don't want anything to do with it. I mean, certainly in the FPL community right now, I imagine, let's just say Scout or Hub, hypothetically, decided to launch NFTs tomorrow. The backlash on social media is not worth the money you're going to make, in my opinion.
Yeah, for us, I think it'd actually be different. If we launched it,
I think if you did something like, look, there's one FT, we're selling the music. Who wants to buy it? Like, fine, buy the music.
Yeah, I think it needs to be thought out, because what I want to know if I'm buying an NFT is this a temporary short-term like smash and grab for the person selling the NFTs, or is this a for life project? And I think people understand that like Planet FPL as a brand is not going anywhere. Like, we're not then suddenly going to be, and we're just going to stop, right? It's your livelihood for me. It's a big chunk of time as well. It's not like we can just, you know what, we're a bit busy now, we're going to have to stop the pod and your NFT's gone to shit. Like, that's not what's going to happen.
Wow, I can hear in the back of my head is the Leonardo DiCaprio speech in Wolf of Wall Street. I'm not fucking leaving.
But, you know, it's like, you need that faith, because if we stopped, those NFT's would be a fuck all.
I mean, that's interesting, because eventually it will stop, even if it's the case of one of us dies in 50 years or whatever, right?
Yeah, but eventually by then, if people have had enough value over their lifetimes, then they'll feel cool about that.
Yeah, but the interesting, to say like that, in comparison to, say, the Johan Cruyff picture, that, I get that. There is always a historical value to that, in the sense that the brand of the football club, presumably, unless they really piss it up the wall, Barcelona Football Club will continue. Planet FPL won't forever. I don't know if that changes the value on things as well.
Yeah. Interesting to see. Patrons, I'm sure there's some of you that have more experience in NFTs and crypto than James.
I love you, mate, but don't DM me.
But do jump on Slack maybe and jump in the conversation, because happy to be schooled on anything that we may have got wrong, and we'll look at this moving forward as well. Like, I would love to have Planet FPL NFTs. But I would want to spend some time thinking about the offering before we actually go down the road of ever offering it.
Stian, you can DM Serge.
I've reserved your NFT. Don't worry, Stian. Patrons, hope you enjoyed this. Back at you tomorrow with Top and Ham. Both James and I were at the games at the weekend, so it'll be a, you know, fans' perspective and a quiz on Thursday.
Yeah, we're going to hear about shit fans tomorrow, Serge. So you've been promising us. I didn't have any bad experiences on Saturday. It's just generally, to be honest, I'm going to talk about that. Just genuinely quite nice. Why do I feel like this crypto NFT is something we're going to be doing again in about 2 weeks?
Yeah. Because we'll be launching our NFT project. Stay tuned. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Don't buy anything you shouldn't. Cue music, please, man child. And you can pay for this.
Including drugs down the garage.
Fantasy Football Show.